A Walden Media and Playtone production.
On the day the world ended, the fate of mankind was carried in a small metal box.
A small elderly man in a blue jumpsuit scurries along a small white walled tunnel. He looks up nervously as dust falls from the ceiling.
In a secret location, architects, scientists, and engineers met and concluded that there was only one hope for our future. To build an underground city designed to keep its citizens protected for generations to come.
The metal box is opened and the man is handed a piece of paper with writing. He's then handed a small rectangular piece of plastic. They place it in the box.
Secure the box. Set it for 200 years. We'll keep them in the city for 200 years.
You're certain they'll be long enough?
None of us can be certain of anything. We can hope. Growing up with no knowledge of a world outside, future generations will be spared sorrow for what they've lost.
He puts on his glasses and grimaces.
For the good of all mankind.
The box was entrusted to the first mayor, who was to pass it on to her successor.
The box ages as it's handed from person to person. The year counter on the side decreases.
As the years counted down, the box passed from mayor to mayor. None knew what secrets it held, only that it would open when it was needed most.
With 47 years left on the clock, the current mayor falls down dead.
But fate ran another course. And the chain was broken.
An unseen figure picks up the box and places it in a dusty cupboard within an old-fashioned house.
The box was tucked away and forgotten. And as the city grew old and began to crumble, the box quietly clicked open.
The counter reaches zero. The box clicks open. British Sky Broadcasting presents City of Ember. A suspended light bulb hums with energy. It's joined by thousands more, each hanging down above a ramshackle city. Darkness creeps in around the edge of the metropolis. Moths flutter near to the lights. Down below, people wander the streets. A bulb sparks and drops down onto a building roof. Inside, a young boy, Dune, is trying on his shoes in his bedroom.
Big day.
Yeah. I just hope I don't get assigned some useless job.
You can't control what job you get on assignment day. That's not the point. The important thing is...
A generator sighs and the lights waver and shut down, plunging the city into darkness.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
With a crackle and a hum, the lights flicker back to life.
They're getting longer.
That one was.
Yeah, and it's the third one this week. The generator's our only source of power. If it goes, we all go.
That's dramatic.
Dad, this place is falling apart. No, I will not just sit around while Ember collapses. I'm getting into that generator, whatever it takes.
In a hall, a children's brass band is followed in by two heavy-set men and a disheveled man in a brown and red suit. He's wearing the chains of the mayor around his neck and nods to the small collection of people who sat waiting for him. A mini gazebo is held above his head to stop dust falling from the ceiling. The entourage make their way to the stage, where teenagers, including Dune, wait under a banner that reads Assignment Day. The mayor reaches the podium and waves at the band to stop and the teenagers to sit.
Congratulations on achieving this momentous occasion. Your assignment day.
A young girl rushes out of her house.
I'm late!
Sure, you and your granny all right?
Yeah, we're fine. You all right, Mr. Thomas?
Just another blackout, Nina.
She darts through the city streets, greeting passers-by before opening the iron gate to an old school. The mayor's speech echoes in the halls.
Produce the book of the city of Ember.
You need to sign in!
And wait!
In the hall, a plinth rises up with a book on it. One of the mayor's men picks it up as the girl sprints through the school corridors. The mayor is handed the book. The first page reads Oath of Loyalty. The girl reaches the side of the stage and whispers to a red curly-haired girl.
Psst, Lizzie!
We swear
eternal loyalty to our city.
We declare our infinite gratitude to the builders who chose the site with the greatest care.
We flourish above our mighty flowing river. We thrive thanks to the unbounded capacity of our mighty generator.
Beating in our very center like a magnificent heart.
Beyond Denver, the darkness goes on forever in all directions. Ours is the only light in a dark world.
It's true.
The teenagers sit, the girl having joined them in time. Mayor Cole composes himself before speaking.
Back.
A woman holds up a small canvas bag, which is snatched up by a small blue-suited man and handed over to the mayor. The children stand with looks of anticipation.
Be the first to discover your future. Reach in, young man.
A young man reaches in and pulls out a slip of paper. He unwraps it and smiles.
Read it aloud.
Electrician's helper. I get to work in the generator.
Timekeeper's assistant.
You get to work with clocks.
Building repair assistant.
They have a lot of fun.
Greenhouse helper.
Pedigree.
Potato peeler.
You're gonna come in handy.
Warehouse clerk.
A vital job.
Mayor Cole stands before Lena, the late girl, and opens the bag.
Pick one, young lady.
She gingerly puts her hand in and pulls out a slip of paper. It reads, Pipe Works.
Louder so we can all hear.
I'm a pipeworks laborer.
You're a very fortunate girl. That is an important job.
Mold scraper.
We got a mold scraper. Great.
Cole reaches the second row where Dune takes his pick and unhappily reads it out. Lena turns and watches him.
Messenger.
Lena looks upset as Dune crumbles the paper in his fingers.
Lena.
Excuse me, need me.
Trade with me.
What?
Swap jobs, please, you have to.
You want to work in the pipeworks?
No, I want to be electrician's helper and work in the generator, but Joss won't swap. I would rather die than be a messenger. I don't want to waste my time while the whole city crumbles.
Yes.
What?
Yes. Thank you, dude.
Thanks.
Lena scampers away, once again running through the cobbled city streets. Her neighbor, Mrs. Murdo, leans out of her window, bashing a rug and singing.
There is a brighter light.
Mrs. Murdo!
How was your assignment day?
I'm a messenger.
Oh, that's wonderful, Lena. Congratulations. Oh.
She runs into a yarn shop.
Make things up. You're not a messenger, Lena.
But today was assignment day, remember?
Oh.
Where's Poppy?
Poppy?
Poppy!
She was helping me look for something. Here's Poppy.
Lena takes the length of string handed to her.
Poppy! Poppy!
The string leads to a little girl.
Poppy, take that out of your mouth.
Dune's father, Loris, hands him a package which he unwraps. It's a small metal device.
I made it.
Yeah, I can tell. What's it for?
It's for your graduation.
I mean, what does it do?
You'll figure it out. There's more to a bottle cap than keeping liquid from leaking out of glass. The main thing is, pay attention. Pay close attention to everything. Everything you see. Notice what no one else notices. And you'll know what no one else knows. What you get is what you get. What you do with what you get, that's more the point. Wouldn't you say?
Really useful, Dad.
Dune nearly trips over a small mobile robot scooting around the kitchen.
You don't want
to
eat?
I'm not hungry.
Outside, he paces through the emptying streets. Amber globes light the brown-tinged walls. Dune stops, hearing a sound, and looks into the empty base of a water fountain. A giant moth sits prone inside the base. He checks over the injured moth. He pauses, then unties his red shoelace. Lena tucks Poppy into bed.
I'll play you the voices while you fall asleep, okay?
Using foot pedals, Lena powers a small answer phone. Outside, Dune watches the moth flutter around a street lamp.
Where do you go?
In her bedroom, Lena opens a secret hole behind the wallpaper and removes a cloth package. Inside are crayons and a half-finished picture of a colourful street. Lena looks out of her window at the house yards away, wedged close to her home, before colouring the blue sky above the houses. She looks upwards at the ceiling. Later, under the sky of bulbs, she stands in front of the messenger's office and eagerly runs in. A man sits at a circular desk among books and electric cables in the centre of a round room.
Lena Mayfleet, reporting for duty.
You're early, Mayfleet. At ease.
Dune arrives at the pipeworks. He descends some metal stairs into the bowels of the huge engineering rooms filled with pipes that emit bursts of steam. The head messenger clerk rings a bell. Red-cloaked messengers all walk to their posts as Lena stands bemused. The head clerk approaches Lena, a broad smile on his face. He holds her new red uniform and places it over her shoulders.
It's beautiful.
Wear it proudly. Take care of it. Always keep it in good repair.
I will.
Your station is Garland Square. Stop! I need to tell you the rules. One, when a customer...
gives you a message, repeat it back to make sure you've got it right. Two, always wear the right cape so people can identify you. Three, our customers pay 20 coins for every message, no matter how far we have to carry it. So go fast. I love going fast.
Very good. I'm impressed. Now go!
Beaming, she runs out of the door. Dune stands outside a central command station filled with levers, buttons, and dials.
These overalls will go over your clothes. That belt will have all the tools you'll need.
And I think there's enough traction left in these boots.
You need traction to work the pipes. Now, this locker is yours. You can put in your shoes and whatnots. All right?
Okay.
All right.
The aged pipe engineer plants a too small safety helmet on Dune's head.
You got a big head. This one. Oh, that fits. All right, now, cut your name in there.
Why?
Why? In case something happens to you. The guy who wore this helmet before you drowned. If he hadn't cut his name in there, we wouldn't have known who he was.
Here. Here's this.
I think I can figure out what's wrong with the generator. When can I see it?
The old man is dozing.
So?
Dune puts the helmet on. Elsewhere, Lena races through the streets to deliver a message. The customer angrily hands over the money. She runs down an alley as sparks rain down from a faulty light.
Hey, slow down.
She sprints out of the city limits towards three illuminated greenhouses.
Clary! Clary! It's me!
Look at you! Rona told me.
You're my first message.
That's great. I'm ready.
From Arben Swen, the vegetable vendor.
Let me have it.
Lena holds up a scrawny potato.
If this is a potato, then I'm 16 and sexy.
They turn, hearing a cry for help outside. Clary wipes the grime from a windowpane, and they peer out over the mounds of rubbish outside. A dirty figure appears in the distance, clutching something. He gasps for breath and collapses to his knees.
I ran right into it. I swear, it was as big as a house. I was just trying to get out along the river. So dark. I grabbed onto it. I had to before it grabbed me. Stand back. I had to. No. How? I knew it was dark, but I had no idea how dark. I couldn't see anything.
Lena and Clary watch as the man is led away by city officials.
Why would he risk being thrown in jail when everyone knows it's against the law to go out there?
There's far too much to do here to worry about out there. Your father would have known how to fix these potatoes. Don't dig too deep, Lena.
Clary hugs Lena, holding her tight. She walks away, leaving Lena to her thoughts. Lena notices the item the man was holding on the ground. She picks up the angled black object and conceals it beneath her cloak.
The whole thing is rusted. Yep. It ought to be replaced, so.
Yep.
So where do you store new pipe?
New pipe? We haven't had new pipe since my second decade here. Yeah. We've been patching so long, we have more patches than pipe. Here, hold that.
Sol binds old gaffer tape around the faulty pipe joint.
Check it. Squeeze it.
Dune obliges as Sol turns the pipe wheel.
Is it holding?
So far.
So far is so good.
What's going to happen?
Same as always.
What's that?
We'll cope.
But what about the blackouts? They're getting worse.
Slow down, kid. You have to learn to take things as they come.
He lightly slaps Dune's cheek.
Well, what's this tunnel called?
It's tunnel 25. And this is 26.
How do you know?
He shows Dune a small map in his pocket.
Come on.
The pipe they mended springs another leak.
What's that for?
Pressure. What are we on?
And this?
Oh, no. It's not my job.
You've worked here forever. How could you not know?
Minding my own business keeps me busy enough.
Can we go into the generator?
Sol falls asleep again. Dune walks across the central command station and stares down a short corridor. A spherical chamber lies at the end of the corridor. A red light emits from the edge of the generator chamber door, which has a lightning bolt insignia painted on it. Dune nervously looks back at the command station before trying the handle on the chamber door. It appears locked. Sighing, he walks back to Sol's snoring figure. Crouching down, he carefully removes the map from Sol's overalls pocket. Dune unfolds the age map. He stops at a crossroads in the tunnel and chooses the right-hand path. Dressed in his orange overalls and safety helmet, he follows the map through the dingy, damp tunnel. Pipes line the tunnel walls. He stops, hearing a noise. The pipes creak and moan with age. Stepping through the muddy water under his feet, Dune continues on. He checks the map again, noting a missing tunnel up ahead.
Been erased.
He plugs a cable running from his helmet into the wall. The light on his helmet illuminates the tunnel ahead. He unravels the length of cable on his hip as he moves forward. He stops at a door labeled 351 and tries the handle. It doesn't budge and he spins the pressure wheel uselessly. Trudging back through the tunnels, Dune packs up the cable and checks the map. He almost walks into a cable and hook dangled from a hole in the tunnel roof. Staring up, he climbs up the pipes lining the wall into the hole. A hatch opens and Dune clambers into a large, dark room. Half-filled metal shelves line the room along either side. Tins and packets of foods are stacked in the middle of the room. Suddenly, a man appears from the shadows, grabbing hold of Dune.
Work in the storeroom.
You're Looper. Your brother was in my class.
Oh, thanks for the enlightening information. Is that why you're here?
No, I'm training in the pipeworks. I'm training in the pipeworks. I saw this. Huh? This rope. I got lost. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, get lost again.
Okay?
Looper throws Dune out into the street. Dune picks himself up and makes his way down the street. He looks up as another blackout plunges the street into darkness. The light bulbs overhead blink out one by one. The entire city shuts down sector by sector. As panicked voices cry out, a red flare is shot upwards, briefly illuminating the city in a dull red glow. Lena darts over to a wooden pillar, gripping hold as the flare flickers and dies.
Dune, where are you?
Where are you? Hey, you okay?
Yeah.
You okay?
Yeah. looking. Something's not right. They never last this long. What's that sound?
It's the generator.
But they can fix it, right?
Maybe for now. We're running out of time.
We have to do something. There was a man this morning. He came back from the unknown regions. He said he heard water. Did you ever think there might be a way out?
A way out of Ember?
The lights finally come back on. Lena and Dune get to their feet.
All pipeworks, electricians... Look, I need to get down the pipeworks. You stay safe, Lena, okay?
Dune! Wait!
Lena holds the object out to him.
Where'd you get that?
I think it came from some kind of animal.
No, where did you get it?
A man came back with it from the unknown regions.
It's from a beetle. It's beautiful. Can I keep it?
I have a message.
Miss Sample, I need to get home and check on my granny first.
That's the message as you go. Tell everybody!
Mrs. Sample taps a clock which reads 10 past 12. Inside the command station, engineers frantically run around as Dune arrives. Lena slows as she passes a small choir dressed in blue robes. She climbs the stairs to her home.
Granny!
Granny is sitting in her armchair, pulling the stuffing out, agitated. Dune walks into the main generator room. Flames and smoke emit from the centre of the circular generator. Engineers try to put out the fire as sparks dance up the side of the massive structure. Debris falls around Dune. He backs away from the failing generator. More engineers pour into the chamber, shutting the door behind them. Lena calms her grandmother.
It's here somewhere.
What's
somewhere?
Here?
Something is very, very important. My great-granddaddy, he told me.
Wait here. Poppy, no. Spit it out.
Poppy is chewing paper.
Poppy, come on. Pop. You're ruining the couch, Granny.
Lena holds the metal box Poppy was playing with.
You found it.
Granny points to the box.
This is what you're looking for? You sure? What's so special about it?
I forget. I don't remember. I don't remember.
Okay, Granny, I've got to get back to work.
Okay.
See you, Papa.
A horn sounds the end of the shift. Tired workers, their faces caked with dirt from the fire, slowly enter the command center changing room.
Josh?
Don't bother asking. The generator's broken. It's hopeless.
Lena runs into the washing station.
I have a message for Seely Schnapp.
I'm Seely Schnapp. What is it?
Mun Milder sent me.
He did?
He wants me to tell you that he can't come over for lunch today.
Oh.
He said that your house is too far away from his and he's afraid of the blackouts.
Next, Lena stands waiting for a message. The greasy-haired, thin figure of Looper leans in close.
I have a message for the mayor. Your ship is in.
Lena runs past the dried-out fountain and stops in front of the gathering hall before darting in. Barton Snowd, the mayor's assistant, notices her arrival and clears his throat.
Good day, messenger. What brings you to the gathering hall?
I have a message for the mayor.
Very good.
He clambers down over books from his plinth to stand no taller than Lena.
Right this way, if you please.
He leads her down a pale-colored corridor lined with portraits.
These pictures are of all the mayors of Ember.
I'm related to him. He was my great, great... I don't know how many greats, grandfather.
Pod Morthwart, 7th mayor of Ember.
We still live in the same place he did.
Lena stares at the distinguished figure in the painting. The chains of office hang around his neck. She notices the metal box in his hands. Snow knocks on the mayor's door and glances back at Lena as he waits for a response.
Come in.
Lena and Snow enter the office. A portrait artist is drawing the mayor as he sits at his desk.
I recognize you from assignment day, don't I?
She's a direct descendant of our seventh mayor.
Are you? How nice. Name?
Lena Mayfleet.
Mayfleet? That is a name for a messenger. May your feet be fleet. Apparently you were born for the job. What is your message for me, Lena Mayfleet?
It's from Looper, sir.
The mayor stops smiling and beckons her over. She sees him pop a tin opener into a drawer filled with tins of food. Lena leans in close to whisper the message.
Your ship is in.
Excellent.
What are those boxes in the portraits, sir?
Is that part of the message?
No, I was just curious.
Thank you.
Lena turns to leave, Cole watching her closely. Outside, Looper is chatting to a large man. Lena walks up.
I'm just looking after myself. You've heard the rumors, you know what they're saying. It's going black for good.
What's going black for good?
Clean your ears, little Miss Nosy. I said back. Going back for good. Did you deliver the message?
Ember's been here a long time. Blackouts or no blackouts, generator hasn't failed us yet.
The generator won't last. It's falling apart. And no one knows what they're doing down there. Something's really wrong.
What can you do about it?
Dune stares at his father.
What can you do about it?
Together they study the large piece of insect Lena found. They check out a book on insects, stopping at the picture of a beetle.
How do you explain that this used to be so small?
You're gonna give yourself a headache.
Dune closes the book and walks away. Loris pretends to work, but stares thoughtfully into the distance. At home, Lena brushes her fingers over the side of a metal box. She pushes the buttons on the side and opens the lid. Lifting out the yellow paper, she smooths the circular piece of torn parchment and places the small scraps of chewed paper into the center, filling the gaps. She reads aloud the visible bits of writing.
Ember. Time. Support life. One. Proceed. Two. Release.
She carries on piecing the text together. Then she runs a hand over the symbol inside the box. She pushes another lever and a drawer shoots out, exposing the rectangular plastic card. She shows it to her red-haired friend Lizzie the next day.
So shiny. I think it is. I need 20 packages of light bulbs.
My shop's out of peas. I need 15 airtights.
Well, you can't have 15, you can only have 3.
Don't give me that. Just yesterday I saw plenty air tights in Post Street Market.
Oh, that's why there aren't so many today, isn't
Don't
it?
Don't be smart with me.
What do you want me to do, make peas out of thin air?
Oh, listen, no, listen.
I need some help, and I need help!
The ground shakes and the shop is plunged into darkness.
Lena!
Did we find it?
Lie back, Ruth. You need to stay in bed today.
We found it, Granny. What is it? Can you tell me?
Don't ask her to talk now. What's best for you is to sleep.
Isn't there any medicine you can give her?
I'm low on medicine. Sorry. Give her as much water as you'll drink, eh?
Can you look at Poppy, too?
Hang on to her.
The doctor pats Poppy's back, who coughs.
I'm just gonna look in your mouth.
Don't bite.
Well, what was that doing there?
She pulls out a wad of paper. The doctor leaves. Lena takes the ball of paper, carefully unwraps it, revealing the printed text within. Poppy dances around, shoving her chair.
Poppy! Poppy, stop!
Poppy screams as the lights go out.
Poppy, stand still. Don't move.
A red flare glows softly outside.
Granny, we're coming! Granny!
As the lights switch back on, Lena is holding her grandmother's hand. The elderly lady has passed away in her sleep. Lena turns and draws Poppy in close, holding her tightly. Next, they are in Mrs. Murdo's house.
You and Poppy have to share, but I think the bed's big enough. Poppy, let's make some dinner and let your sister get settled.
Lena holds a box of belongings in the doorways to her new room. Later, she eats dinner with Mrs. Murdo and Poppy.
Do you know your part?
I think I remember it pretty well from last year.
Oh. Great day of singing is so important. Oh, it lifts all of our hearts. How lucky we are.
I don't feel very lucky lately.
There's nothing to worry about.
The blackouts worry everybody.
Help is coming.
Help?
Mm-hmm. Who built our city, dear?
The builders?
That's right. And the builders will come again and show us the way.
Mrs. Murdo grips the table as creaks and shakes reverberate round the house. Lena holds the box in her new bedroom.
Whatever it is, Granny, I'll figure it out. I promise.
She opens the paper and has a thought. She glues newspaper to the underside of the parchment, allowing her to attach the loose pieces together. Later, she shows pieces of it to Dune.
It says Pipeworks.
That's why I brought it to you.
This printing. You know what it reminds me of? Come on, let me show you something.
They crouch down in the school hall.
What are we doing here?
The builders left us this book. We learned about it in history.
Dune successfully picks the lock and a wooden box springs open, containing the book from the assignment day. It rises up from the plinth. Dune flips the large book around and opens it. Lena checks the writing inside against a piece of the aged paper.
The builders wrote these instructions.
It's exactly the same.
Keys turn in the hall door and the caretaker shuffles in. He plugs a light in and shines it around the seemingly empty hall. It falls onto the raised plinth. The caretaker starts to walk out, but suddenly realizes what he's seen. He shines the torch back at the stage. A creaking door to the left captures his attention. He shines the torch on it just as the door closes. Outside, Dune and Lena drop down from a window onto the street.
Come on. There's something I have to show you.
Lena unveils the entire round parchment.
What do you think? I think it's instructions.
Yeah?
What I don't understand is why would they have it in a circle? I mean, I know it must be.
Add a T.
What?
Add a T. E-X-I-T. Exit. What if there's an exit from Ember?
In the tunnels, Dune plugs in a headlight. He leads Lena towards the locked door.
I don't think we're supposed to be down here.
This tunnel was erased from Saul's map. It dead ends in a locked room. Yeah. This could be it.
Using the device Loris made him, Dune tries to pick door 351. A noise startles them. Dune pulls the plug out of the wall. The teenagers hide as voices are heard down the tunnel. Two figures carrying boxes come into view ahead. Hearing a noise, they panic and drop the boxes, running away. A large creature shuffles past the tunnel. Small tentacles flicker out of a mouth, followed by a huge oval frame. It crunches down on the box as it passes. They stand up and make their way cautiously towards the tunnel opening. The next tunnel appears empty. They bend down to inspect the remaining contents of the box. Crushed cans and packets of food lie scattered on the ground. A banging ahead causes them to look up. They proceed forwards. They turn a corner and stop. Ahead, the creature is hunched over, feeding. It resembles an enormous star-nosed mole. Above its mouth protrude dozens of bright red tentacles.
Run.
Lena and Dune run back through the tunnels.
Up here. Go.
As the mole creature approaches, Dune helps Lena up the pipes into the trap door he found earlier.
Get the box.
Dune dashes down the tunnel. Hearing Lena, the creature rears up at the trap door. Lena scrambles back as it struggles trapped by the gap in the floor. Its sharp teeth glint as it breaks through the floor and clambers after Lena. She throws a can, which bounces off its hide. Lena manages to get through a door, but the mole bursts through the frame, sending her backwards. She trips over one of the bookshelves. Managing to hide behind it, Lena sits as quietly as possible. The metal box lies close by. She reaches out behind her for the box, attempting to pull it close. As her hand hovers over the top, the creature's moist tentacles search over the other side. One tentacle brushes Lena's hand. As the mole moves forward, Dune dives for cover behind a bookcase. The mole's frame wedges it under the case. Dune slips out and searches for Lena.
Lena! Lena! Be stuck! Jump!
Lena runs, jumping over the hairy creature's rear and tail. They escape down the hole and sprint through the tunnels. Lena sits down, sighing.
Thanks for another great idea.
Moles need to eat all the time just to stay alive. Probably just as hungry as we are.
Dune sits down next to Lena in the engineer's changing room.
Do you see those storerooms? They're completely empty. We're gonna run out of food. It doesn't matter anyway. The generator won't last. And pretty soon it'll be black for good.
Lena takes Dune's helmet and reads the name etched on the side.
Mayfleet. That's my name.
The man who wore that helmet before me drowned.
Drowned.
Later, Clary listens as Lena tearfully talks.
You weren't here. There's no water but the irrigation pipes. How could he have drowned? I miss him so much. Mom, too. How am I ever gonna figure out what this is all about? It's all these zeros. That's what scares me the most. What would count down to nothing? It sounds like doomsday.
Shh, please, honey. Don't do anything foolish. I couldn't bear to lose you, too.
How did you die, Clary? Did you really drown?
Clary leads Lena into a hidden room behind the bench in her greenhouse. As she shuts the door, the bench springs back, covering the entrance.
Your father thought it was doomsday, too. He believed there was a way to get out of Ember. I couldn't dissuade him. I said it was our duty to stay here and fix our problems, that it's illegal to venture out into the unknown.
Why is it illegal?
Clary leads her into another room, full of covered machines and tools.
If father said the river runs in one direction, so it must come from someplace and go to someplace. But he must have hit it too early or something. I don't know. The tunnel flooded, and...
And my dad died. He was by himself?
Everyone else got out before it collapsed.
I was considering taking the box to the mayor.
Yes, do that. Do that instead, please. Let him handle the situation.
A crowd stands below Mayor Cole on the balcony of the gathering hall.
These are trying and troubled times. Our problems are grave. We need answers, but beyond answers, more important than answers, we need solutions. And in order to find those solutions, I propose we launch a thorough investigation. I hereby declare the creation of a task force to investigate the blackouts.
The crowd applaud. Lena stands with the box among them.
Do I have volunteers?
A few in the crowd raise their hands.
Today, we, the people, stand united against the darkness.
Later, Lena holds the parchment over a manhole in the street. She looks up, seeing Lizzie in the distance. She's holding numerous cans. Lizzie sees her and turns, quickly walking away.
Lizzie! Lizzie!
Lizzie trips over some children playing in the square. She falls, the can spilling on the ground.
Give me that.
Mine, go away!
She pushes the children away, taking the cans back. Lena bends to pick up a can. The label reads, pineapple.
Pineapple? No one's had pineapple since my grandmother was a little girl. Where'd you get this? Lizzie! Where'd you get that food?
Oh. She pulls back on Lizzie's scarf.
Right. I got it from my boyfriend.
You don't have a boyfriend.
It's not official, but there's this guy who really likes me. He explores the storerooms, especially the ones on the edges. They're marked empty in the ledger, but they're not all empty. I'll give you a bite, you promise not to tell.
It's wrong, Lizzie.
Well, he says it's all gonna be gone soon anyway. Why not live as well as we can right now? There he is.
Looper emerges limping from a building. Lena goes to see Dune at the tunnels. Sol is asleep again. Lena leaves him and heads off. In the tunnels, Dune hears his name called out and stops working.
I need to tell you something. It was Looper we saw near that 351 door. Before that, I took a message to the mayor for him. I'll bet there's something big on the other side of that door.
Dune tries again to pick the lock. This time he's successful. He pushes the rusty door open. Row upon row of tin cans line the shelves in a low-lit, red-lined room.
So much food.
They move on into a small second room. A red leather chair is positioned in the centre of the circular room. Soft light illuminates the comfortable surroundings. They circle the chair. Mayor Cole is sunken down in the chair, fast asleep. An open can resting on his swollen belly. He snorts in his sleep and turns his head the other way. Dune gestures for Lena to move out. They run through the tunnels. Back in Lena's bedroom, they sit as Poppy jumps on the bed.
And I thought he was lying when he talked about finding a solution. He wasn't lying. He's found his solution.
Poppy, lie down, okay? It's time to go to sleep. Could you just pump those pedals?
What is this?
It's the answering machine tape for my parents' phone. When they still had one.
Anybody home? Don't hold dinner for me, darling.
That's my dad's voice.
I'll be there before lights out. Rain, it's me, Barrow. I've been thinking about it. I watch my boy and come around. I change my mind. I'm in.
What's wrong?
Lie to me.
Where are you going? Well, meet me at the greenhouse, okay?
Good night, young man.
Mrs. Murdo is washing up.
How was your rehearsal? For the singing?
Oh, it was fine. It was really good.
Good.
Good night.
Good night.
Loras is in his workshop. Dune determinedly walks in.
Dad, I heard you. I heard you on the answering. Lena Mayfleet has her parents' old answering machine tape. I heard you. You said her dad could count you in. You tried to leave the city, didn't you?
Well, why would I do that?
Because of me. Dad, please.
We were wrong.
No, you were right. There is an exit.
Yeah, Rain thought so too. And it got him killed, son.
Dad, there's a way out in the pipeworks. But you have to tell me everything that you know. Tell me what you know.
I don't know anything, and neither do you.
The builders left instructions.
The builders abandoned us.
No, they didn't. They didn't, Dad. I have proof.
Banners are erected for the great day of singing. The lamps in the square are being polished. Lena stands holding the box outside the gathering hall. As Barton goes through the revolving doors, she follows him inside.
Wait!
Oh, happy great day of singing, young lady.
I need to speak to you in private.
Very well, then.
What I need to tell you is secret and really important.
What is it?
The mayor, he's got a bunker in the pipeworks. It's filled with food. The shortages aren't as bad as everyone thinks.
You mean the mayor is stealing?
Looper, who works in the storerooms, is helping him.
Well, this is shocking. Shocking. I'm shocked. We have to report this. Come with me.
Well done, Lena Mayfleet.
Once you arrest him, June and I can show you where the room is and... Wait, where are we going?
Lena tries to pull back as they near the mayor's office. Strode grabs hold of her. Lena struggles with the short man, but he holds on and forces her down the corridor. He flings open the office door, pushing her inside and slamming the door shut. Lena stands before the mayor, who sits at his desk, greedily eating tinned fish. A napkin is tucked into the front of his collar.
I beg your pardon, Your Honor. You remember Lena Mayfleet? She wants to accuse you.
Accuse me of what?
Of stealing food from the people of Ember.
I love my city. And everyone in it.
He uses a plastic card to pick at his teeth.
And I would never think to do such a thing.
We saw your room! We saw you in it!
We?
She and her friend, Dune Harrow.
What's that box?
It's mine.
He secretes the card away in his pocket.
It's unusual looking. Where'd you get that? You're related to one of the mayors.
Yes, he was the 7th mayor.
A lot of things got lost when the 7th mayor passed.
May I look at that box, Lena?
Why?
What's inside the box, Lena? I imagine it's official mayor-related business.
Lena backs away as the mayor's guard and Snowd encircle her.
Box. Give it to me.
It's not yours.
Give me the box!
No!
Get it from her, now.
Take it from her. Move!
The light flickers out and the occupants in the office scuffle around in darkness. A man cries out in pain. A red flare shines through the office window. Lena stands unharmed in the middle of the room. She notices the plastic card hanging out of the mayor's pocket. She snatches it out of his pocket before leaping out of the French windows. The light comes on. Cole sees it missing and smiles menacingly.
Get her.
Lena darts out of the revolving door and into the crowd below. Snowd emerges with the guard. He blows on a whistle, alerting the police. The city officials give chase as Lena dashes through the maze of alleyways. Officers burst into Loris's workshop, headed by the mayor's guard. Loris stands surprised.
There's a hollow through now. Is he here?
I can't hear. I have a weak ear. You have to talk louder.
Dune Harrell.
No, Loris.
We're looking for Dune Harrell. He's charged with treason against the city.
That's terrible. If it's true, he's no son of mine. Treason is the worst offense anyone could possibly commit. Builders were wise when they said, if you have proof, you have to pursue it. There's more to a bottle cap than keeping liquid from leaking out of glass.
Get him.
Go this way.
Dune, the guards are here. You traitor. Here. I'm going to get you.
Hold on. Keypad is somewhere. Just one second.
Is this the way to your apartment?
Apparently not.
Dune, having heard his dad's clear warning and instructions, escapes through the window as Loris attacks the officials. Others try to break into the house, but are hampered by Loris's robot blocking the door. Dune swings off a pipe into the streets below. Lena sprints into Carrie's greenhouse.
What's this all about? We'll be late for the great day of singing.
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. I'm
looking for Lena Mayfleet.
Well, she's not here. She's probably already in Harkin Square.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll just have a look for myself.
Beg your pardon. So sorry.
Snowd leads guards into Mrs. Murdo's house. Poppy sits in her arms.
No. The mayor did ask for her specifically.
The greenhouse. She was meeting a friend at the greenhouse. Does that help?
Wanted posters are put up in bright red lettering around the city. Dune and Lena's names are on it, with notices saying, if you see them, report to Mayor's chief guard. Believe nothing they say. Reward. Dune sees one and rips it off the wall as he passes. In her father's secret room, Lena paces worried. Snowd's whistle pierces the air. He leads the guards into the greenhouse, smashing windows and kicking the plants.
Destroying our food!
Oh, no. Carrie tends to a battered plant. Dune signals to her from the greenhouse rooftop. Carrie checks outside and signals that it's all clear. Dune begins to climb down. He stops and remains still as Snowd re-enters.
A warning. If I discover you are helping, harboring, or otherwise assisting those kids.
Why would I do that?
I have information they will come in this way.
Who provided you with that information?
It's confidential. All I need for you to understand is this. If you're involved, you'll regret it. Anything you hear, anything you see, you tell me. There will be consequences. And should anything happen in the future that you hear of or see, I'll expect to be informed. I don't need to tell you that I have the mayor's ear.
As Dune climbs down, Lena pulls him inside the secret room. Snowd hears the door shut and goes to investigate. He sees footprints in the dirt and smiles at Carrie. He leans on the wooden bench, The other side of the wall, Lena and Dune crouch, their ears to the wood. They spy Snowd through a gap. Snowd notices an open window hatch and mistakenly believes they've escaped outside. Jumping down, he sneers at Carrie before leaving.
Leave two guards!
We've got to find a way out of here.
Lena moves into the second room and looks at the covered machine.
What is this?
Dune pulls off the cover. Underneath is a seated contraption with circular digging blades at the front.
My dad made this.
It doesn't look very safe.
That's my dad. Everything he makes looks like this.
What do you mean, your dad?
Barrow. His voice is on your answering machine.
But your dad's name is Loris.
Barrow Harrow. It's his nickname. After some wheelbarrow he used to push around.
You're the boy. That means our parents were trying to escape together.
They're trying. We're running out of time. He'll come back for us.
Dune sits at the front of the machine. Lena grabs the box and sits in the second seat, facing backwards. They place goggles over their eyes and begin pedaling. The blades at the front rotate. As Dune changes gear, they pick up speed.
Pedal!
They head into a tunnel dug out in front of the machine.
Now, you stay here and be a good girl.
Can I?
Okay, and look for me up there.
Where's Lena?
Oh, she's here somewhere.
The machine speeds down the tunnel. Sparks fly off the wall.
See anything?
Barely!
Mayor Cole sneers in his office. He dons a smile before flinging open the balcony doors and raising his arms in acknowledgement of the crowd below.
Here it is again, the moment in the year when we pause to celebrate our fair city. This beacon of light in a world of darkness.
The machine smashes through the wall ahead, coming to rest beside piles of rubbish. The teenagers take off their goggles and climb off the machine, checking out their surroundings.
Get that stuff, cover it.
They cover the machine with bits of old cloth from the rubbish pile.
This miracle of planning, this magnificent achievement that is our City of Ember.
Cole points to the choir below, who lead the crowd in song.
This is all we know. Ember is forever. When the light comes on, I will be with you. When the light comes on, hope is everlasting.
They started singing. I gotta show you. The mayor had one too.
He gave this to you?
Not exactly.
Lena holds the plastic card. Dune lines up two slits in each card and slides them together. The card makes the lightning bolt insignia displayed on the generator door.
Generator. Okay, we have to get there. We have to get there now.
Poppy.
I will be with you. This is all we
know. Poppy sings next to a couple of children. Dune emerges in a nearby alleyway. Lena softly calls out to Poppy. Poppy follows the sound of Lena's voice. She sees Lena beckoning her over, away from the square. Lena gathers Poppy up in her arms. Together, they and Dune run through the empty streets away from the square. The lights flicker overhead. They descend some metal stairs into the heart of the tunnels. Dune holds the keycard up in front of the generator door, checking the pattern.
That's it.
Dune tries to pick the door lock. Poppy shakes a sleeping soul, still popped in a chair in the control room.
Poppy. Maybe he knows.
Sol. Okay, we have to get him on his feet. Wake up. Sol, is there a key to the generator door?
Sure, there's a key.
Great. Where is it?
How should I know? It's not my job.
He falls asleep again. Lena pauses, deep in thought.
Wait. Something's not right. The builders were smart. They would have made it simple.
Don't call any of this simple.
They would have thought it through.
Holding the parchment out, she backs into the center of the room. She notices the pattern on the parchment matches the circular design on the floor.
Everything.
She turns the parchment, revealing a map drawn across it and repeated on the circular floor beneath her feet.
Dune.
She looks towards the changing room to the left.
There's something behind those lockers.
Dune paces into the changing room.
There's gotta be a way in.
Dune desperately shakes the lockers. One to his left angles out slightly. Dune looks in wonder before pulling it all the way to the ground. Behind it, a vast corridor lined with blue and gold pattern. Poppy, Lena, and Dune peer inside. The back of the locker has boat written on it. Lena checks the map.
Release by
rotating mechanism clockwise.
They look around for a handle.
What's that? Has to be. Okay.
Together, they turn the valve. The boat upends itself back up to sit next to the other lockers. The mechanism, now working itself, shunts into life. Gears move and a chain pulls along a groove set in the floor. The boat edges out of the wall towards Poppy.
Poppy!
The boat slowly moves forward, upright on the chain, out of the changing room and into the main command room. More boats shift out of the gap in the wall.
There's another one. Look.
They follow the boat out into the main room. The circular section of floor in the center rotates. The boat clicks into place against a groove on the floor. It rotates the boat towards the second section of groove in the floor. It locks into place and the boat heads away from the center of the room towards the third room. The children stare amazed. They follow the boat into an empty room. Steam emits from the end wall as it lifts up. Red light pours in from the vast chamber beyond. The boat stops on a ridge set above and across a canal of water, leading to a water wheel on the end wall. Another wheel rotates below them. The metal chamber walls reflect the red light and steam rises slowly from various pipes and valves. The boat tips up onto its base, sliding down the ridge into place on another circular section of floor. The floor rotates the boat to face the water wheel. Excited, Dune, Poppy and Lena run down the steps. Another boat slips down the ridge as the first boat is tipped into the water below.
Is too low. It's gonna hit.
The massive water wheel turns on its axis, crushing the wooden boat into pieces.
It should have moved out of the way.
We're not supposed to skip ahead. We need to follow the instructions exactly. Okay. What the builders would have wanted. Access something, something, one room.
Dune looks around and notices the generator emblem on the wall and walks over to examine it. Dune brushes the dust from a sign above the emblem, revealing lettering beneath.
It wasn't one room we were looking for. It was L. Emergency control room.
Okay. Dune gets out the cards and links them. They fit into an X-shaped hole next to the door. A beeping starts as Dune tries to pull the door apart.
Oh, come on! Come on!
The doors open when Poppy removes the key.
Nice work, Poppy.
Eerie crimson light fills the emergency control room. Above them, huge pistons slowly rotate. They walk towards a long metal ladder heading up to the top. Dune begins climbing. Lena follows with Poppy on her back. Steam erupts out of enormous cogs and wheels. Dune stops and looks down at Lena.
Are you okay?
Lena nods. Dune climbs into a new chamber. Ahead, an old door with a rusty wheel blocks his path. Dune tries the wheel and the door opens. Inside is a small room, lined with windows, thick with dirt. Cloth covers the control panels. Dune whips off the covers, revealing a series of buttons, dials, and levers. He rubs eagerly at a dirty window panel and stares out. The room is positioned high above the canal of water in the large chamber. Dune checks the control panel and finds an X-shaped keyhole with a plastic card. Placing the key in the slot, the panel springs to life. Poppy grins enthusiastically. Lena fishes out the map and checks the next instructions.
Set water wheel 1 to full thrust.
Dune turns the water wheel dial to the right. Below, the first wheel picks up speed.
Okay, what's next?
Set water wheel 2 to full stop.
Dune turns the next dial to the left. The second wheel slows to a stop. Looking down, they see the first wheel grind to a halt and shudder. The flow of water stops.
Stop.
A panel to the left of the wheel pings off, the cogs fly out. A red light flashes on the control panel and the pressure increases on the wheel. Elsewhere, the warning klaxon wakes Sol, who peers at the pressure gauge as it hits red and smashes. Shocked, he gets to his feet. Water smacks up against the side of the wheel.
Sol!
Sol climbs the side of the wheel.
Stay here.
Dune leaves to help Sol out.
How do you know that's what you should do?
It's my job!
He continues hammering on the broken panel.
Nothing's working.
Try this!
Dune extends a lever out of his father's device and hands it to Sol. Wedging it into the cogs, Sol tugs on the device.
It's beginning to move!
Sol, this is the exit! It's the way out of Ember!
Where, boy?
We'll find out!
As the wheel moves freely, the water flow charges up the cable running alongside. A bolt of energy creeps along the cable up into the control room. Lena looks down at the panel as it reads full power. The city shakes with energy from below. A bulb above the town square blows, sending sparks flying down. As the crowd sing, more bulbs explode. Mayor Cole uneasily backs away from the balcony. Water cascades over the wheel. Sol grabs Dune as he loses his grip. Lena grabs Poppy and leaves the control room. Holding onto Sol, Dune climbs back onto the wheel.
Are you all right?
Yes!
Lena and Poppy climb down. The water level rises. Outside, brown water erupts from the side of the fountain, spraying the crowd. The quiet in the city folk look on amazed as the water begins to run clear. The mayor dashes into his office, tripping over a still-wet portrait. He pulls his head off the picture and looks at his smudged features on the portrait. Lena grabs Poppy and heads onto the ridge.
Sol, come on! Now, we're gonna go now, come on!
I've got to keep this open!
Sol, come now!
Come with me!
You go! Now!
Sol watches him go. Carrying the box and Poppy, Lena heads over to the boat. Water flows over her feet.
Are you okay? Okay, get in!
Did you see what happened to the first one?
Don't have any choice, come on!
They clamber into the boat. Water splashes up as rocks hit the water below.
I'm Poppy.
Dune glances back at Sol, who waves as the boat sits ready for launch. The second wheel drops in the water.
It's lowering.
Dune pushes a lever, dropping the boat into the water. The wheel stops too high in the water for them to pass. Sol grips the device and pulls hard. Smoke rises from a panel as a huge wave of water washes out from under the first wheel. It flows over the ridge and towards the small boat, picking it up. The boat sits on the crest of the wave as it's carried high above the second wheel and into the cavernous darkness beyond. Dune, Lena and Poppy hold tight as the boat is carried through the caves. The mayor stomps through the tunnel as someone calls his name.
Mayor Cole?
Looper emerges through a wall of steam.
We made it.
Cole pushes him over.
You can't leave me here! Wait!
Cole fights off Looper and drags him away. He fishes out his keys and opens the door to his secret room. He ducks inside and shuts the door on Looper.
No! Stop! Get him! Wait! It was you and me! Open the door! We had a deal! We had a deal! Open the door! Open the door!
Hearing a noise, Cole flicks on the light. The star-nosed mole lunges out of the darkness towards him. The mayor screams in terror. The boat continues rushing at speed on the wave of water. Dune pushes a lever and the boat's rudder flicks open. They approach a fork in the underground river. They soar over a waterfall and land in a gentle pool below. The boat drifts slowly forward. A blue glow lights the way ahead. Dune reaches up to feel a stalactite hanging down. They're near the source of light in a smaller tunnel. The sound of falling water gets louder. Lena notices the cascading water up ahead and cries out a warning. They try to brace themselves against the rocks, but the boat keeps moving. They tip over the edge and down a long wooden chute. Water sprays over the side before the boat comes to rest on the surface of the pool in a huge cave. Dune dips his hands into the luminescent water. A long staircase is set against a rocky cliff ahead. Light creeps in through a hole in the rock at the top. Dune, Lena and Poppy disembark at a small wooden jetty. At the foot of the stairs, Lena picks up a dusty sign that reads, "You are here." A small box lies next to it. Inside, Dune finds picture instructions on how to light a candle. They make their way up the old wooden staircase, both holding candles. Poppy hangs off Dune's back. Finally, they reach the top.
There's something up ahead.
Using the dim candlelight, Lena reads a sign nailed to the stone walls. It reads, "At all times, carry babies in baskets provided," with a picture of a figure holding a basket next to it. Dune opens a door ahead and steps inside. A table and chairs are positioned in a large hall. Above the doorframe, Lena reads, "For the good of all mankind." Metal signs adorn the pillars around the hall, including, "One step at a time, don't push, and carry the babies carefully." The entrance to the City of Ember lies empty since it was originally used. A soft wind blows through an opening in the hall. The three stand before it. Dune takes a few steps forward. He kneels to squeeze through the opening and steps out into a ridge set in a mountain. The others follow him. They all stand at the top of a broken old staircase. The sky is black and the children look mournfully out at the scene.
They were right. There's nothing but darkness.
Dune heads down the steps towards the rusted front of a bus. He pulls a piece of the engine and looks at it. He looks inside the broken vehicle, downcast. They lie down to sleep. Far in the distance, a low amber glow signals the arrival of dawn. Poppy stirs from her sleep and scratches her nose whilst watching the sky. The sun appears on the horizon. Dune turns his head towards the light. He reaches out and gently shakes Lena. Lena sits up from her sleep as the clouds glow red and yellow around the golden sun. The sun's strength increases as it rises, lighting the grassy hills around them. The children laugh as they look up at the sky.
It's blue!
A large moth flutters in the air under the blue sky. It arcs down into a hole in the ground. The children peer into the hole. Far below, they see the shining city of Ember.
Ember! You can see it! Hello!
They won't hear you. It's way too far.
What? Well, we've got to tell them somehow. We need to tell them what's up here.
Lena and Dune tied their hope to a rock and tossed it down toward the city.
The rock with paper wrapped around it falls down towards the city. It bounces off two bulbs, off the side of a roof and along a piece of tarpaulin.
The rock could have ended up on a roof. Or kicked into a gutter. But fate ran another course. And the message found its way.
The rock stops at Loris's feet. He picks it up, unwraps the message and reads it. A look of delight spreads across his face.
Now the path was clear for all.
He looks up towards the sky high above.
All of us who kept the flame of Ember burning through the darkness so that we could live again on the earth, in the air and the light.
Dune, Lena and Poppy walk happily along the hillside, the sun shining brightly ahead. The end. Directed by Jill Kennan. Screenplay by Caroline Thompson. Based on the book City of Ember by Jean Duprat. Produced by Tom Hanks, Gary Goetzman and Stephen Sherasian. Starring Saoirse Ronan as Lena, Harry Treadaway as Doom, Bill Murray as Mayor Cole, Martin Landau as Sol, Mary Kay Place as Mrs. Murdo, Toby Jones as Barton Snowd, Marion Jean-Baptiste as Clary, Mackenzie Crook as Looper, and Tim Robbins as Loris. Audio description by Nathan Tanner. Audio described by Jack Seater.